guys, and I have a subject here. So it's a model for supporting Christians and supporting the community, and it's also a model how to give financial. So the story I will use is from our own journey, how we have been able to help people and churches in Ukraine. And and I have some pictures. I have pictures from our visit that we had in May, this May, in Ukraine. So everybody is familiar with the situation in Ukraine, and we have the privilege to have friends there. And we couldn't imagine going back to 2001 when I had our first visit to people in Ukraine. Just to show you where we are down here, you are familiar with the Ukraine map, especially this one. So we are here visiting two towns. Ishmael is about 75,000 and Bolgrad about 10,000 people. So in 2001, I was invited by a friend to come down to a church in Ishmael. And it was a very exciting visit. Everything was different. And somewhere or another, and I don't know why, to this day, we kind of connected. You know, when you meet up with friends, some friends you just connected to. And we connected to the Ukraine people in a special way. And since that, we've been there, I've been there, and some of our team from our church, we've been there every year, except for 1 year because of the COVID. So it has been building and building and building. And we have been able to also to help in financial way and to support poor people, to support elderly people, etc. But of course, when the invasion and the war started on the 25th of February, or 24th, that's when everything changed. I had a new perspective. I had a call from our organization, which is in our churches, which are in care of aid. And he called me after a prayer meeting, and he said something like this: is that right that you are connected to a church in Ukraine? I said, yes. And then he said, well, are you working with them? Yeah. And I told the story, and he said, well, could we make a collection of money in our organization, in the Pentecostal Church? I said, yes, for sure. So from that day on, everything changes. Everything went from, you know, we were already helping. Let's say we were helping about 10 to 15 people every day getting food, elderly people. So every day we were going out, and they were going out, and they were giving out food, making food, hot meals, etc. But from that day on, the phone keep ringing. I had interviews with a newspaper. Churches started to ask about our work. I mean, we've been working there for about 20 years, and now everything was going up like this. And there was a big offering, and within the first 3 or 4 weeks, we had collected about £50,000. And you must remember that our budget was about £1,000, £2,000 a year, maybe £3,000 a year. And now we had 50,000 pounds giving to that area, giving for aid to help. So, yeah. And then, on top of that, because we are connected to an international aid service, which is our mission, we applied for the government. We applied Danish Emergency Relief Fund. We applied for a grant, and they gave us £100,000 to help in a 3 month period. So of course everything changed, and we had to work. But because we were there, we knew people there, we had trust. I usually say it like this: we've been working in the area for many years, and there was really just one person that we trusted 100%. One person. Which would not take a penny to herself. You know, culture is very different, situations are very different. You can understand why people in a culture, they think very differently in some ways. Mm-hmm. But we had one person that we trusted 100%. So that's why we could go on with this work. And so this project is now finished. So we have been able to help 1,000 people a day in a 3 month period, and it costs around about £1 to help a refugee a day, just to get simple food like pasta, sugar, rice, just simple food, no meat. So in a 3 month period, we have been able to give over 90,000 pounds. So. Let me see what the slide is. Yeah. So here we are back in May, and here we see the food packets. We are delivering food packets to our refugees coming to Belgrade. Well, Belgrade is about a town with 10,000 people in it, but because of the war, the size of the town is now at least doubled. Imagine having 70,000 people coming to Livingston or whatever. Yeah. Double here.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere you go, you will find a refugee. Everywhere. So what do you do? So here is the culture center where we gave out food packets. You can see them there. And also Pampers are very popular. Medicine. Let's see. So we put up an organization where we involve the local church. Bill Hybels' famous quote is that the local church is the hope of the world.
Yeah.
And that is some of the keystones here that we work together with. How can you set up such a big project from one day to another? Well, the idea was we contacted all the local churches, Baptist churches, independent churches, charismatic churches, Pentecostal churches. We contacted them in the area. And about 15 churches connected to this program. So the program goes like this. You contact the local authorities. They give out a list for you who are really, really poor, and who are the refugees. So we had the list with all the names given to the churches, and then the aid comes delivered to the church, and the church call out to the community, come and receive. You can only get aid if you're on the list. So that's it. So working together with different churches was and has been an eye-opener. The churches in that area, they knew each other, they knew their names, but they hardly spoke to each other. Maybe you are familiar with such a thing here, I don't know. You know the church up there, it's up there, you know the pastor, you know, and you say hello, but you don't really bother. You bother about your own church, which is, of course, it's natural. So these pastors, they were kind of, they are now meeting together, they are now reaching out to the community. Some churches said, well, we only help our own Christian friends. But the idea is here, you help the community. Mm-hmm. So that was a change in the mindset. So we had these people coming together, and let's see how this is. Yeah, we have some. This is from the Culture House. When you listen to the stories about the refugees, it captures your attention and it captures your heart. Well, here is one of the villages. He is a mayor of the village. It's a town of about 4,000 people, maybe 5,000 people. And he's a personal Christian. And you can now listen to what he says about this help.
For the help that you gave us to all the internally displaced people, for those people who were in such a difficult situation because of the war, because of the Russian aggression. But all of them, what you have, they want this food package that you prepared for them.
And they never thank you. Yeah, yes, we
change. And your house is sufficiently different from
others' house.
Because every package weighs about 10 kilos. Other people give it, other organization give other
house.
Big package, but only three kinds of house. And here is full package. Just small camps and something small.
Okay.
But your prepared is big and sufficient. It's like
you need
to find words to express gratitude. Not possible to have
those
words. Truly. People really suffered. And when they came here, their houses were destroyed. And when we got this house, they cried because of joy. Thank you for this house.
So you see, it's very touching. And there was some few testimonies which was very interesting because we met with the pastors. And several testimonies went like this. We used to evangelize. We used to pray for people. We used to call in to whatever kind of meetings, healing meetings. We gave out tracts. We did everything. Nothing seemed to work. Then we started to give out food packets. And now people are starting to come to the church. So it's just to give you an example. Well, I took this also, this testimony. This is a refugee from Nikolaev, which is a town east of Odessa. So you can just hear her testimony.
It's very dark, but I want to go home. My soul is worried. I want that it will be home very soon. I want to go home very much.
I told about the pastor's meeting, so here is just a few seconds from the pastor meetings. And as you can see on their faces, some are charismatic and some are not. but it didn't matter. We are all there in unity for one purpose. Mm-hmm. So here it comes. Wonderful to see people in unity. And so here's how we are inspired. We are inspired by the Word of God, how to reach out to churches, to reach out to the community in Ukraine. And let me see what I got here. Yeah. So if you're familiar with it, otherwise you can read it when you come back home. It's a very, very interesting passage where Paul brings out a personal testimony about the help to the Christians in Jerusalem because of the famine. And it's very interesting to read about these two chapters, how Paul is describing the help. So here's one of the things that are interesting, because Paul never used the word money. Even if he asked the church to every Sunday to give their gatherings in money, he never mentioned the word money. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So how did he describe the help then? Is anybody here that knows how he described the help? He used another word. It's a very, very famous word by charismatic people.
It's on the street.
When it comes out here, it's charis, grace. So, 7 times in chapter 8 and 3 times in chapter 9, the word grace is mentioned about this help. For the money itself is called a grace gift, not money. So you can study it. If you go to Google, you can find here, you find the word charis. So it's grace all over. So that is very interesting, and I find this very encouraging. We're not talking alone about money. We are talking about something which is higher,
yeah.
Has a more broad expression.
Yeah.
And really, he's talking about what happens when grace hits. The Macedonians, he's talking about the Macedonians, how the grace of God hit them. And it could be symbolized by when the light comes in, out of the other side comes a variety of gifts. Could be spiritual gifts, but here is a gift of giving a love gift to somebody, to the church in Jerusalem, which are in desperate need. So the grace hit them, Paul said, and something happened. They gave over their ability. If you read these words, it's very, very encouraging. They didn't have anything, but they gave a lot more than they had. So he's using them as an example to the church in Corinth. So Paul is trying, he's trying to change the way they think about money. See, you have to give money, no? The gift flows out and is pointing to Jesus. The picture is how Jesus gave himself to the world. He came, he emptied himself, and he gave himself fully to us. So this is the picture. This is the picture. So the grace flows when God's grace hits you, then the grace flows out of you, and some of the grace that flows out of you is that you want to give to the Lord's work. So that's a principle. So we're not collecting money only. We are giving out of the grace that Jesus has given to us. Let me see where I am. And then in chapter 9, he reminds the readers about God's principles for blessing. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whosoever sows generosity will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your own heart. God loves a cheerful giver. Yeah. So it's very, very good principle. And God is able. See, God gives you the ability to give, to make all grace abound to you, so that you always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. I hope you can see the picture.
Yeah.
So, and God will supply the seed for the sower and bread to eat. He will also supply you with all the seed you need and make it grow and produce a rich harvest from your generosity. So, this is a principle. And what happens? What happens when you start this change? Well, the generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So all these people that received the food package, some of them came to the pastors and to the workers, and they asked this question: who are these people who are giving this gift to me? Who are they? That's a very good question. I like that they ask it. So, that was people from Denmark. So, what Paul is saying here, that the process of giving is a whole chain. Because when you give it, the one that receives it will receive it with thanksgiving in their heart.
Yeah.
They will start to thank God for you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you give a gift to the mission or wherever you give it, people are touched by the grace of God. And then they start to reflect back and say, I want to thank God for the gift, but I also want to thank God for the one that gave us that gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful thing here. So it will be like overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. I once preached this sermon in Ukraine, and I remember it, and there was one guy to my left, and he said, well, because I said this, you know, you will start to give thanks to the ones that had given the gift. And he stood up and he said, well, how did you know that? because he was praying for us, he would give us thanks. So that was a great testimony for me. This is working. Others will praise God for the obedience. So that's the chain. And they will pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. And then it all comes from the giver. Thanks to God for his indescribable gift. So here's the principle. We have urged Titus, just as he had earlier made the beginning, to bring also the completion, this act of grace. So he's talking about the money, the collection. He's calling it this act of grace. So we are urging Titus to send him to Jerusalem with this act of grace. And then he is, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestly, and in the love we have kindled to you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Bring the gift offering finished. Make sure that you have, everybody has brought their grace of giving. And here's the source. For you know the grace of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, that thought he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. So, here's the finish up. So here's the principle. I think, do we have a Timothy here? Let me see. I think, yeah, that man. Can you come up? Yeah. So here is Timothy. He's our young brother. And he's had in his heart for a long time. Yeah, just, we need to see your man. So he has got in his heart that he wants to help. He's been eager. He's got a passion for the help for the poor in Jerusalem. So now Paul is telling him, and here he is, and he's nuts. And I put some money in just to, so,
yeah, some money.
So Paul said, well, this is not money. It's a grace of gift. So please take that and go to the ones in Jerusalem. They are over there. Just go to them there. They're right there. Yeah. And give it to them. Give it to that lady. So you are the poor in Jerusalem. It's just an example. And now you open up the gift. Yeah, and you take the money out, and then you can buy some food, and then you start to thank God because he has given you such a wonderful gift of grace. And then you ask, who are these people? Who are these people? And Timothy will gladly say, well, the ones, the church in Macedonia, the one in Corinth, they gave all this money to you. And then you will fall on your knees or whatever, and you will start to thank God for all the people that have given you this gift. And it also say, then you will long to have fellowship with the people from Corinth and Macedonia. Mm-hmm. So you will start to pray. That's why I think, I feel it in my heart sometimes, we need to go to Ukraine. I don't know why, but my interpreter says, well, I'm not coming this year. And my interpreter says, well, I prayed. sure enough, a month after, I have a desire to go back. So this is the principle. And everybody are thanking God. God's name is glorified. And the result, thank be to God for his name.